Listening Library presents The Maze Runner by James Dashner. Read for you by Mark Deakins. Chapter 1. He began his new life standing up, surrounded by cold darkness and stale, dusty air. Metal ground against metal. A lurching shudder shook the floor beneath him. He fell down at the sudden movement and shuffled backward on his hands and feet, drops of sweat beading on his forehead despite the cool air. His back struck a hard metal wall. He slid along it until he hit the corner of the room. Sinking to the floor, he pulled his legs up tight against his body, hoping his eyes would soon adjust to the darkness. With another jolt, the room jerked upward like an old lift in a mine shaft. Harsh sounds of chains and pulleys, like the workings of an ancient steel factory, echoed through the room, bouncing off the walls with a hollow, tinny whine. The lightless elevator swayed back and forth as it ascended, turning the boy's stomach sour with nausea. A smell like burnt oil invaded his senses, making him feel worse. He wanted to cry, but no tears came. He could only sit there. Alone, waiting. My name is Thomas, he thought. That was the only thing he could remember about his life. He didn't understand how this could be possible. His mind functioned without flaw, trying to calculate his surroundings and predicament. Knowledge flooded his thoughts, facts and images, memories and details of the world and how it works. He pictured snow on trees, running down a leaf-strewn road, eating a hamburger, the moon casting a pale glow on a grassy meadow, swimming in a lake, a busy city square with hundreds of people bustling about their business. And yet he didn't know where he came from, or how he'd gotten inside the dark lift, or who his parents were. He didn't even know his last name. Images of people flashed across his mind, but there was no recognition, their faces replaced with haunted smears of color. He couldn't think of one person he knew or recall a single conversation. The room continued its ascent, swaying. Thomas grew immune to the ceaseless rattling of the chains that pulled him upward. A long time passed. Minutes stretched into hours, although it was impossible to know for sure because every second seemed an eternity. No, he was smarter than that. Trusting his instincts, he knew he'd been moving for roughly half an hour. Strangely enough, he felt his fear whisked away like a swarm of gnats caught in the wind, replaced by an intense curiosity. He wanted to know where he was and what was happening. With a groan and then a clonk, the rising room halted. The sudden change jolted Thomas from his huddled position and threw him across the hard floor. As he scrambled to his feet, he felt the room sway less and less until it finally stilled. Everything fell silent. A minute passed. Two. He looked in every direction but saw only darkness. He felt along the walls again, searching for a way out, but there was nothing, only the cool metal. He groaned in frustration, his echo amplified through the air, like the haunted moan of death. It faded, and silence returned. He screamed, called for help, pounded on the walls with his fists. Nothing. Thomas backed into the corner once again, folded his arms, and shivered, and the fear returned. He felt a worrying shudder in his chest, as if his heart wanted to escape, to flee his body.
Someone help me!
He screamed. Each word ripped his throat raw. A loud clank rang out above him, and he sucked in a startled breath as he looked up. A straight line of light appeared across the ceiling of the room, and Thomas watched as it expanded. A heavy grating sound revealed double sliding doors being forced open. After so long in darkness, the light stabbed his eyes. He looked away, covering his face with both hands. He heard noises above, voices, and fear squeezed his chest.
Look at that Shank. How old is he? Looks like a clunk in a t-shirt. You're the clunk, Shuckface. Dude, it smells like feet down there.
Hope you enjoyed the one-way trip, Greeny. Ain't no ticket back, bro. Thomas was hit with a wave of confusion, blistered with panic. The voices were odd, tinged with echo. Some of the words were completely foreign. Others felt familiar. He willed his eyes to adjust as he squinted toward the light and those speaking. At first, he could see only shifting shadows, but they soon turned into the shapes of bodies. People bending over the hole in the ceiling, looking down at him, pointing. And then, as if the lens of a camera had sharpened its focus, the faces cleared. They were boys, all of them. Some young, some older. Thomas didn't know what he'd expected, but seeing those faces puzzled him. They were just teenagers. Kids. Some of his fear melted away, but not enough to calm his racing heart. Someone lowered a rope from above, the end of it tied into a big loop. Thomas hesitated, then stepped into it with his right foot and clutched the rope as he was yanked toward the sky. Hands reached down, lots of hands, grabbing him by his clothes, pulling him up. The world seemed to spin, a swirling mist of faces and color and light. A storm of emotions wrenched his gut, twisted and pulled. He wanted to scream, cry, throw up. The chorus of voices had grown silent, but someone spoke as they yanked him over the sharp edge of the dark box. And Thomas knew he'd never forget the words.
"Nice to meet you, Shank," the boy said. "Welcome to the Glade."
Chapter 2. The helping hands didn't stop swarming around him until Thomas stood up straight and had the dust brushed from his shirt and pants. Still dazzled by the light, he staggered a bit. He was consumed with curiosity, but still felt too ill to look closely at his surroundings. His new companion said nothing as he swiveled his head around, trying to take it all in. As he rotated in a slow circle, the other kids snickered and stared. Some reached out and poked him with a finger. There had to be at least 50 of them, their clothes smudged and sweaty as if they'd been hard at work, all shapes and sizes and races, their hair of varying lengths. Thomas suddenly felt dizzy, his eyes flickering between the boys and the bizarre place in which he'd found himself. They stood in a vast courtyard several times the size of a football field, surrounded by four enormous walls made of gray stone and covered in spots with thick ivy. The walls had to be hundreds of feet high and formed a perfect square around them, each side split in the exact middle by an opening as tall as the walls themselves that, from what Thomas could see, led to passages and long corridors beyond.
"Look at the green bean," a scratchy voice said.
Thomas couldn't see who it came from.
"Gonna break his shuck neck checking out the new digs."
Several boys laughed.
"Shut your hole, galley," a deeper voice responded.
Thomas focused back in on the dozens of strangers around him. He knew he must look out of it. He felt like he'd been drugged. A tall kid with blonde hair and a square jaw sniffed at him, his face devoid of expression. A short, pudgy boy fidgeted back and forth on his feet, looking up at Thomas with wide eyes. A thick, heavily muscled Asian kid folded his arms as he studied Thomas, his tight shirt sleeves rolled up to show off his biceps. A dark-skinned boy frowned, the same one who'd welcomed him. Countless others stared.
"Where am I?"
Thomas asked, surprised at hearing his voice for the first time in his salvageable memory. It didn't sound quite right, higher than he would have imagined.
"Nowhere good."
This came from the dark-skinned boy.
"Just slim yourself nice and calm."
"Which keep are he gonna get?"
someone shouted from the back of the crowd.
"I told you, Shuckface,"
a shrill voice responded.
"He's a clunk, so he'll be a slopper, no doubt about it."
The kid giggled like he'd just said the funniest thing in history. Thomas once again felt a pressing ache of confusion, hearing so many words and phrases that didn't make sense. Shank, shuck, keeper, slopper. They popped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?